Thank you, Brother Jack, Brother Brian. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs. Get Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to get interrupted here in a couple of weeks on Wednesday night. It'll be Vacation Bible School that week, and not next week, but the week after, and then there'll be a youth meeting. But despite all that, we're going to get started with something tonight that I took a run at about 8 years ago with you, and I didn't do it justice, didn't do the subject justice then, and I won't do it now. So that's going to excite you about what we're about to do. Hey, man, we're trying to get you fired up. But we're going to deal with the book of Proverbs. And it won't be a verse-by-verse study of this book. I mean, we could spend a lifetime, and many of us have made that a quest. If I was deserted on a desert island, having already been saved, and the Lord said, I'll give you one book out of that Bible that you'll spend the rest of your life on, I'd say give me the book of Proverbs. Because it's all in there. Everything's in the book of Proverbs. And of course, many of us, I know, we'll read our proverb for the day, our chapter for the day, and that'll put us going through 12 times a year, reading through there. And it's a wonderful book. But what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some characters that you find in the book of Proverbs, and there are several, and also some contrasts, because that's the way the book of Proverbs is written. We're going to deal with some counsel and some corrections. Tonight, we're going to focus on commandments. And the commandments we find in the book of Proverbs, and again, we'll just get started tonight. It'll just be something that you may want to develop on your own later on. But beginning in the very first verse of this great book of the Bible, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. All right, now this is the wisest man in the world. Really is. And the wisdom he had was given to him by God, and it was a wisdom that the world in his day recognized. Now think about that. Here's a man that wrote a book. He's the wisest man in the world. And there are people, they'd go out of their way to keep him reading what he wrote. And it's for free. It's right there in your King James Bible in sixth grade English. And folks don't even give it the time of day. But in his day, people traveled the world to hear what he had to say, according to the book of 1 Kings. And as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes later on, he does that from a point of experience, and both of those types of wisdom for us in these books of the Bible are framed by the Holy Ghost. In other words, as he writes Ecclesiastes, what you've got is you've got a man endued with God-given wisdom writing about things he learned. And in the book of Proverbs, that same man is recording the wisdom that he was given freely by God. And if we're just talking about someone who was known for being the wisest man to ever live, writing about the subjects of wisdom and experience in wisdom, that'd be something that a man would be a fool to ignore, but it's more than that. It's the same setup, only this same man writing about these same subjects is writing by the Holy Ghost. And the wisdom and insight that's recorded is infallible, and it's inerrant, and it's inspired, and the Bible says it liveth and abideth and endureth forever. That means this wisdom was good before you were ever born. It was good before this nation was born. It'll be good after you're gone, long after you're gone, long after this nation is gone. The book of Proverbs will still stand. So we don't want to miss this. Amen. We need this stuff. And notice the words, the son of David, the king of Israel. And that's the Spirit of God leading Solomon to write there, as he writes there to those that are of the truth, who hear the truth. Jesus said his sheep hear his voice, and so those of us that are looking for his voice, looking here at the inspired scriptures that are given by inspiration of God, here's these words that God has led Solomon to write so that we'll be able to recognize, oh, this is the Lord speaking. This is more than just Solomon. This is the greater Solomon. And he's got something to say to each one of us. This is the voice of our beloved, as Solomon put it in the Song of Solomon, the true son of David, the true king of Israel, and we're blessed with knowing this, and here's why he speaks to us. Verse 2, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That is, to be able to recognize wisdom and to be able to employ it in our daily lives. To know wisdom and instruction, to know the wisdom that God gives and the instruction that God gives by wisdom, we need wisdom to be able to perceive that, and then we need wisdom to be able to apply those things to our lives. He says in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So we need this. And he says in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Why? Why? Because this world's a minefield. And it's not safe to travel through without any preparation. And so the Lord has wrote a book so that we can get through it. And there's all sorts of laid traps out there. And there's trappers out there. And once they've trapped you, listen, they'll bleed you dry. And they'll take your very lives. They hunt for our souls, the Bible says. And friends, in our simplicity of the faith of just seeking to follow the Lord and maintain the integrity of our heart, we are no match for what lies around the corner of each and every day lives. And the Lord tells us as much when He says in Matthew 10:16, He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now that's not encouraging. You're a bunch of sheep and you're going right through a big pack of wolves. And then He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So just in the innocence of Christian faith, we're vulnerable to these secret attacks. And what we need accompanying this faith in Christ is subtlety. And we need wisdom. We need instruction. We need discernment. So here it is, the voice of our beloved, the Son of David, the King of Israel, speaking to us words of wisdom by the human instrument of the wisest man in the world. And He says what these words are going to do for you is they're going to give you subtlety and knowledge and discretion that we need and we must have. And so He says, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What He's telling us there is this is a gold mine. And we need to get in there and dig and cash in what's available to us. And He says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, as we deal with the major theme of the book of Proverbs, obviously it's going to be wisdom. That's the main thing of the book of Proverbs, wisdom. And the thought throughout this book and how it's presented to us, as I've said before, it's about comparison and contrast. The Lord lining up thoughts, putting them next to each other there, where those thoughts will either complement each other and make one truth, one point, or else they'll be directly opposite of each other and it'll end up making 2 points. It's like saying, you know, for example, the room was lit bright as the sunshine. All right, so that's making 1 point. Or you can say the day is warm and bright while the night is cool and dark. That's making 2 points. And there's like and as being used in that. And so that's the way the book of Proverbs is written. Sometimes he's showing us things next to each other that's making 1 point. Sometimes He's showing us things next to each other making 2 points. And he's written this book this way, and it's written by God, and it's not a book of common sense. You know, some people glory in that. Oftentimes, the people appreciate common sense. But this is the compilation of the very wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ in a book. And we have access to it. And the key word is wisdom, and it's common to believe, you know, that wisdom is just having the ability to use knowledge the right way. And that's the accepted definition. And that's usually what people say there. But if you study the Word out in the Bible, you realize it's really more than that. Wisdom is a matter of the heart. And it's not just a matter of the mind. Wisdom is a spiritual matter. And it's connected to specific wisdom that comes from God. And keep in mind, there are 2 types of wisdom. Just hold your place here in the book of Proverbs and get James real quick. Get James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and get verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible talks about the worldly wise and the wisdom of this world. And that's what the world hails. That's what the world salutes. They salute their own. And that very type of wisdom will prevent a person from ever knowing God. Worldly wisdom will keep you from ever knowing God and ever hearing the voice of the Lord. And you can have all the wisdom of the world. If you miss out on the wisdom of God, you're a fool. And he says here in James chapter 3, verse 13, he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you. Now what that is, that's a challenge. That's the Holy Spirit, you know, king of the mountain. You know, send me a man. That's what Goliath said. Send me a man. Who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge? He says, you know, you think you know something. People want to believe they know something. All right, then he says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Again, there's a lot of folks that speak of common sense, you know, and as if they possess this particular type of wisdom we're talking about here tonight. But James, by the Spirit, he's going to put some of this to the test. And he says, who's a wise man and do with knowledge? Let him show you. And he mentions the word conversation, but that'd be the manner of life. That's what conversation is in the Bible. It's more than just what we say with our mouth. It's how we live, manner of life. He said, let him show it with meekness and wisdom. So he's saying basically a wise man is going to act wise. That's deep. Amen. Doesn't matter how much common sense he got, how many quotes and anecdotes, he's going to live wise. And not only that, he's going to act meek with wisdom in his very manner of life or his conversation. And there's a but here. That's the other side of the coin. He says in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. That is, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. That is, there are those that claim to have this wisdom. And the world will recognize them as being wise. And what James does here by the Spirit of God, he puts this thing to the test there and seeing if they act with wisdom according to the Word of God and with meekness. And there's this alarm going off that somebody doesn't have the wisdom they think they have. And it's whenever there's bitter envy and strife. That's what he's pointing out. And he says, if that's the case, glory not. If there's bitter envy and strife, we're not as wise as we think we are. And it's nothing to glory about there. And he says, this is a brand of wisdom, all right, but it's not from above. It's not the wisdom that descendeth down from God. It's earthly. And he says, it's devilish. It's devilish. Then he declares in verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So you may want to mark that right there, because that's a mouthful. That's a loaded verse. Where there is envy and strife, the Bible says, there is confusion and every evil work. The worldly wisdom leads to emulations. Emulations is that's a carnal outlook on life. That's dog eat dog. That's competitive. It's dog eat dog there. It's you against the world. It's the world against you. It's you against everyone else there. You compare yourself to everyone else. You compare everyone else to you. And that worldly wisdom, and this is business sense in the world. I mean, dog eat dog. It's you scratching and clawing, being driven and getting out there and getting ahead. There are people that go to seminars and pay top dollar to go hear someone tell them just that nonsense right there. And that's called emulations, and it's carnality. It's a work of the flesh there. And you get this chip on your shoulder there where nobody's better than you. Nobody better be thinking they're better than you. And therefore, you know, what people think about you really obsesses you, and titles that people get to their name. And it's impossible for people to think like that without envy getting in there. And where there's envy, the Bible says, there's confusion and every evil word. Now, that's a worldly wisdom. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And it'll get you. It'll get you. And he says in verse 17, but that he says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Again, two kinds of wisdom here. One that's earthly, sensual, devilish, versus the wisdom that descends down from God. That's what we're reading about. The earthly wisdom is marked and exposed by envy and strife in the heart, and it leads to bitterness and confusion. And the heavenly wisdom is pure first, and it's peaceable, which is the opposite of strife, and it's gentle, and it's full of mercy and good fruits. On your way back to Proverbs, let's make a pit stop in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he's marked God's wisdom as being from above and being peaceable. And amen, this world, this contentious world needs peace. And one man, he wrote this, he said, to be at peace with others, a man must first be at peace with himself. Then he added, to be at peace with yourself, you must first be at peace with God. And that's true. That's true. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Now, a lot of folks, I've heard preachers preach around here, that's those outlines. Man's wisdom, that's those outlines. Preacher has notes, he's using man's wisdom. No, we're talking about the substance of a man's message. And you just read what man's wisdom, what this earthly wisdom, what it's made up of and what it leads to. And right here he's talking about a difference there. His speech, his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That appeals to the lust of a man and the covetous of a man. The pride of a man. Those kind of things. Like a Joel Osteen. Because that's exactly what the gospel of prosperity appeals to. The health and wealth message. I want to be healthy. I want to be wealthy. I want the best of this world right now. And you got all kinds of folks lending their ear to that. And Paul said, that's not what we're preaching. That's not the way we're preaching. And he says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So there has to be a danger then, right? I mean, for him to give us this warning. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, Paul has more to say about this in chapter 1 of this book, but let's go ahead and get back to Proverbs now, knowing that wisdom is the key to the book of Proverbs, and that there is recognized in the Bible two kinds of wisdom, the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. A while back, a man was searching among tombstones looking for some wisdom, and he came across an old epitaph, and it said, pause now, stranger, as you pass by, for as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so soon you will be. Prepare yourself then to follow me. That's what he had on his tombstone. And someone took the time to get a piece of wood and nail it down right next to it. And it said, to follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went. Amen. And death's not the end. Amen. We're all going to face death. But we're going to go somewhere forever after we die. And the world in its wisdom does not know God and does not lead us to God, doesn't know peace, and God's wisdom descends down from above and is peaceable and is fruitful. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is made wisdom unto us. Over in 1 Corinthians 1:30, let me read this to you. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right, so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He is our sanctification. And we're to glory in Christ. He's the incarnation of God, and he's the righteousness of God in a human body, and he's the truth of God in a human body, and he's the wisdom of God in a human body. Pure, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. Now for a moment, as I said, we're going to deal with the commandments of Proverbs. And over in chapter 3, he says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Chapter 4, verse 4, he said, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Chapter 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Then he says, keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Over in chapter 10, verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool will fall. Now, for all the blessings of the book of Proverbs, as you read it, and I hope you read it. I hope you read it every day. I mean, that plan there is not the inspired plan. God hadn't said you read one chapter of Proverbs every day, but that's a good plan. And that's a good thing. And it wouldn't hurt you to go through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year and let it go through you, amen. But as we think of all the things that are in the book of Proverbs, commandments isn't something that really comes to mind. There's so much other things that are in the book of Proverbs. We could take the method of word association and throw them out there and see what people think of. Like if you say, which book of the Bible comes to your mind when we say the word beginning, most everyone's going to say Genesis, right? And if we say things like praise, Psalms, more than likely most of us going to think about Psalms, even though it's not the only book in the Bible that deals with the praise of God. If I say prophecy, Revelation or Isaiah. I mean, there's several books of prophecy in the Bible, but most everyone's going to think of Revelation. But if I say the word commandments, we're probably going to think of Exodus or Deuteronomy. You know, we're not going to think of Proverbs. And yet, there's a lot of information that deals with commandments in the book of Proverbs. And God, He gives us commandments, and the truth is, one of His commandments in the book of Proverbs is about our attitude about His commandments. And we just read chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The next verse, of verse 8 of chapter 1, is not unlike what's found throughout the rest of the book. It's a reoccurring thought. It's a reoccurring truth. And He said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So here's a commandment for us. Here's a commandment. The commandment is hear and forsake not. Hear and forsake not. That's a commandment. And that deals with the attitude of the heart. Our attitude about instruction. The instruction of thy father and the law of thy mother. A command. What is it? It's an expressed desire. And it's somebody up front giving us a given expectation. The Lord saying, this is what I expect out of you. And then this command here, He's telling us, here's what I expect first of all. Before I tell you everything I want you to hear, make sure you listen. And make sure that you apply it to your life. Keep it. Keep it. Now, in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that every time we read in the book of Proverbs the phrase, "my son," we ought to be sitting up in attention. Because we are the sons of God. As many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Bible says in Galatians, because we are sons, the Spirit cries, "Abba, Father." All right, so the Spirit of God within us bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it's in its historical setting, this is Solomon giving inspired wisdom to his son Rehoboam. But spiritually, this is God the Father. He's speaking to us. And the Holy Spirit tells us as much in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, when you hear the phrase, "my son," you need to be paying attention. And amen, that's the way it goes. Now, right off the bat, as He talks about a father and a mother, we don't want to nullify the fact that there are mothers and fathers in here. And it ain't going to hurt them, amen, to apply that to their life. What He says about a mother and a father. Children are to honor and obey their parents. And that's basic right off the front there. Hear the instruction of thy father. Amen. This generation of Americans needs to hear that. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's true of every child. That's doubly true of a child who's a Christian. Why? Because one of the first steps towards humility is this very fact, their attitude towards their parents. And children need to be taught and trained in humility. Why? Because pride is the enemy of your son. And it's the enemy of your daughters. And it's the enemy of my children. Amen. If we just allow them to talk back, amen. That's not got anything to do with, I don't care how they think about me. That's not humility. That is a lack of loving for that child. That child cannot be allowed to think that they're allowed to act like that. And if you love that child, you'll correct that in them. They can't be allowed to show that kind of disrespect there and show them, you know, that adults are not their equals. They need to be in subjection to all authority. To all, they need to be in subjection to all that are older than them. And opposite of that is the way of pride. And moms, dads, pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm sure you love your sons and daughters. You better make sure you train them in the way of humility there, instructing them to obey and honor those who are older than them, especially, amen, those that they're told specifically in the Word of God to honor and respect. And if you fail at that, you're encouraging the child in the way of rebellion. Children need to be taught to be subject, as I said, to all gravity, to honor their teachers, to honor law enforcement, government officials, their spiritual counselors like their pastors, their Sunday school teachers and their local church. They ought to be instructed towards that. If not, they're being instructed towards rebellion. And every mother who disregards her husband and disrespects the father of those children is teaching and instructing those children towards rebellion. And amen, you're teaching them to be rebels and be proud. And the fact is, friend, listen, you know, you think, well, that's just him. That's just the way he is, that big lunk I married. No, you're teaching them to respect him and disrespect him, and you're teaching them to disrespect you. Because if they don't listen to him, they're not going to listen to you. They're only going to listen to you as long as you let them do what they want to do. And as soon as you start trying to lay the law down and you try to get them to respect your authority, you've already taught them that authority don't matter. All that matters is what they want. And if they want what they want, despite what you say, you don't know what you're talking about. Just like Dad don't know what he's talking about there. And so what happens times again is even parents will come along and they'll teach their children to disrespect spiritual authority. And they, you know, they disrespect the preacher, and they have the preacher for supper at home, and they disparage him and all this stuff. And then now suddenly they have troubles. I want the preacher to come in there and fix it. But Junior don't care what the preacher has to say, because forever he's been hearing what you had to think about the preacher. And he thinks the preacher's an idiot just like you thinks the preacher's an idiot. And he's heard it over and over again. So the preacher can't help him. You disarm the preacher. And that's what happens. Children need to be taught what? To hear and obey. All right? That's the book of Proverbs. To humble themselves and apply themselves to what they've been told. But if that's true of children, then it ought to be true, doubly true, of all of us. Because we're God's children. And if I'm to honor and obey my father who's still living, and I still honor my father, all right? And I don't want to ever dishonor him. But if I'm still to honor him, then think about my responsibility to God, who is my Father in heaven. I'm to honor my Father in heaven, and especially when I read the words, my son. That's direct. Hear the instruction of your father. That's plain enough. The law of your mother, that would be typical of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit is female. The Holy Spirit's male. He's called he in Scripture. But the law of thy mother would deal with his ministry in our life, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Now what that is that's inside, again, about our attitude concerning God's commands, about his instructions, his law, his words. And he speaks there how we ought to incline our ear. Incline our ear unto the law of God. Incline our ear and bow down our heart. He mentions that. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. And then he says in chapter 4, hear the instruction of thy father. Attend to no understanding. In chapter 4, verse 4, let your heart retain my words. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, attend unto wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. So again, it's talking about, hey, this is your father talking, so in one respect you ought to sit up and pay attention. But in another respect, you need to humble yourself. Bow down your ear. Incline your heart. Hear what he's got to say. Just like the children of Israel, they were fed with a manna. They didn't build a big stair-step case up there with this magnificent platform where they would go up there and distribute out the manna. They got on the ground. They stooped on the ground and they got the manna. And climbed the trees. They didn't get a ladder. They stooped on the ground. That's where God put their manna. And the Lord, he puts it low where even the children can get it. And anybody that thinks getting down there is beneath them, he doesn't have anything to say to you. You want to hear what God has to say? You got to get low. You got to bow down your ears, bow down your heart, incline yourself, humble yourself before you'll ever hear what your Father's got to say. So in one respect there, you can't just, whatever. You know, I myself can't stand to see kids with that attitude towards their parents. Drives me crazy. I don't say anything, but I want to. You know, if the lights went out, you'd pinch that kid or something, kick him under the table or something. You want to get away from their parents and go, you better straighten up, kid. Because I don't care. It may not be my kid. It may be this man's kid or this woman's kid. But to see them get disrespected by their own child grieves me to my heart about their children and how they're being treated by their children. And it's a grieving thing. And I don't want to have that attitude. Oh, what does the Lord want? You know, here we are. Friend, I think that when we come to church and the Word of God is being preached, we ought to be ready to hear. Amen. Incline your ear. Bow down your heart. Be ready to listen to whatever God has to say. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6. And look at verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What I'm just reiterating to you over and over again here, making this first point, God has many things that are considered commandments where the Lord tells you right up front what is His desire, what is His expectation here. He tells you right up front some commandments there, but He frames it all by saying, here's my first commandment. Make sure you got the right attitude about my commandments. Listen, apply them to your life. Make sure your heart is right about them. Now, he mentions things about the fear of the Lord there. And again, there's the admonition of a father and a son. Look back at chapter 1. And here's really the first group of teaching that you'll find in the book of Proverbs. After he lays the foundation, 9 verses telling you, hey, this is what this book is for, and this is what this book will do for you. He starts off in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, my son. Okay? Got your ears on? Because that's you. That's me. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Here's your command. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. All right, now he says, you make sure you got the right attitude towards my commandments, and here's one for you, right off the bat. Stay away from bad company. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, as a father, I know that. Right? I mean, I want to make sure my kids are running around with good kids, that they have good friends, because bad friends will lead you down a bad life. I mean, you'll forsake everything you wanted and desired in life, everything that was a goal at one time. All that gets put on the shelf, and you just care about what your friends care about. It's just this great means of just getting absorbed into this small little culture. And all that matters is what they think. And there's a lot of people, listen, they have spent a lifetime in that small little culture. And it has spun out of control, ruined them. Ruined them. They didn't accomplish anything that they desired in life, anything that God desired for them, because of bad company. And the Lord right here, He lays the thing out. He says, get away from them. I mean, He's got it covered from all bases, because He's saying they're basic, consent not. Consent not. They come to you and they're trying to get you to come, get with them. You say, no, thank you. Consent not. But then if He's getting your attention at this point there, later He says, walk not with them. In other words, if they've already come, they said, hey, we want you to go out with us and we want you to be a part of what we're doing. And you said, okay. The Lord says, no. You said, well, I've already consented. He said, forget it. Don't walk with them. Now, if He's getting you after you're already walking with them, What does he say? He says, refrain thy foot from their path. He's got all bases covered. In other words, don't listen when they come knocking. If you've already listened, get away from them if you're going where they're going. If you're walking the way they're going, he's refrain your foot from their path. I mean, at any point, right? I mean, if there's somebody in your case right now, that's good advice for young people. We'd all say, man, that's good advice for old people. If you've got friends that don't love God, they're not going to help you love God. And if all your time and effort is spent with people who don't care about what that book says, brother, they're not going to help you love God and fear God. And you say, well, I'm just going to have my friends. I'm going to do what I want to do. Your friends want to party and drink and go out there and do all kinds of things that the world's doing, and you don't care? You know what the Lord said? He said, you need to straighten up your attitude, son. I've got something to say. And he says, you need to humble yourself. Bow down your heart. Listen to what I got to say. When they come calling, don't answer. And if you've already answered, get away from them. If you're walking with them, turn around. That's what he's saying. And we need to make sure we got the right attitude. Amen. We got to have the right attitude. That's good advice. Look at chapter 3. And I'll close right here. Chapter 3. Again, like I said, we won't do the subject justice. There's no way. But just get you something to get started. You look at the book of Proverbs, think about, where are some commandments in here? Where is he just being direct with me? And what does he want me to get hold of? Look here at chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now right there, that's something to shoot for. Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now you just read a list of commandments there, right? I mean, you start off just in verse 5, trust in the Lord. That's one. Number 2, lean not to your own understanding. That's another commandment. Trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. Number 3, acknowledge him. Number 4, be not wise in thine own eyes. Number 5, fear the Lord. 6, depart from evil. 7, honor the Lord with your substance. That's the first fruits of your substance. And number 8, despise not God's chastening. Number 9, don't be weary of God's chastening. Now you see there, you could just go through there in these passages in the book of Proverbs, and you could just see there's just a whole lot of things there. Just a whole lot of things there that your father has to say to you in the way of a commandment. You know what he said? He said, don't forget it. Don't forget the law of your father. Don't forget the law of your mother. The commandments of your father, the law of your mother, stick with it. Put it on your heart. Keep it before you. Don't forget it. Don't forsake it. That's what he's telling us. Have the right attitude about things I'm telling you. And if all you had was a book of Proverbs, boy, you'd have a sack full of commandments to honor the Lord by. All right? All right, we'll stop right there as it's time to go ahead and wrap it up tonight. Appreciate you being faithful tonight. Thank you for coming. I want to ask you to stand.